You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Monday. We got an action-packed show here today. Senator Chapin Rose will be with us a little bit later today, and then we have an amazing interview with the General of the Army of Colombia, who was in town with the Howard G. Buffett Foundation over the weekend. They're doing some incredible work there. We'll tell you all about it. So if you've been watching like Narcos, like 1, 2, and 3, and if you haven't been, I would suggest you run to Netflix and watch this. It's incredible stuff. And all based on actual facts. I mean, they change it up because it's it's entertainment, and they change some of the names and locations. But it is an amazing view of that country and what has happened there. And to be an honest law enforcement officer or military member in that country takes incredible bravery because of the corruption, the violence. I mean, to be a journalist in that country is amazing because of just the violence and between the cartels and FARC and all of that. I mean, it's been 50-plus years of just basically civil war in Colombia. We had a very interesting conversation with the general, which you'll hear in the next hour. Nicole Bateman will be with us a little later today from Limitless Decatur as well. But we welcome into the program Jen McMillan, who is running for state representative for the 101st. And first of all, well, good morning, and how's it going so far? Are you having fun, at least as of now?
Well, thank you for having me on this morning, and it's been a ton of fun. It's a lot of hard work. I have to admit my knuckles are a little raw from knocking on doors.
Okay, so you're out just sort of knocking on doors and introducing yourself. Is that intimidating at all to begin with? Like, just sort of, you know, I mean... You feel like a Mormon or you know, encyclopedia salesman. I mean, that would have to be hard, I would think.
You know, right off the bat, you get those jitters of going door to door.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I work at Lincoln College, and I've worked for a long time in the nonprofit world, so I'm used to awkward situations. Usually, I'm asking people to donate.
Okay.
But knocking on doors is a little different. Trying to find your message and share it with people in the way that will best connect with them is really fun. So, last weekend I was in Clinton, and then on Saturday I was in Warrensburg, just meeting people in the 101st.
All right. So it's a, these districts are always, you know, we can have the conversation later about gerrymandering and all of that, but this is a tough, for a Democrat, this is a tough district. I mean, you had to know that going in. I mean, you realize that just geographically it's a hard run.
It is. And Bill Mitchell's been in that seat since 1999. So he's had a lot of name recognition. He's not had a lot of challengers over the years. But thankfully, I come from a rural background. I grew up in Jersey and Macoupin County, and I'm a proud FFA nerd. So I have got a unique set of skills for this area. As a Democrat, I have the support of the Democratic Party, and I have those ideals, but I completely understand where a lot of our rural voters are coming from. And we also pick up a lot of South Shores and Mount Zion Long Creek area.
Yeah, it's
an interesting
layout there, yeah. For sure. You know, I personally think, and I think we're both parties are sort of missing the point these days, is that people in general are sort of tired of the polarization of politics, you know, left or right, Republican or Democrat. Most people are somewhere in the middle. You know, they have issues that are important to them, but most of them want the economy to improve. They want Illinois to be able to pay its bills and get its act together. I mean, are you finding that when you're knocking on doors less than sort of Republican versus Democrat?
Oh, of course. I've had a lot of people that are just excited to see someone knocking on their door. That I lived in Warrensburg for 5 years and south of Decatur for another 5. And I've never had anyone, Republican or Democrat, knock on my door. So people are first excited to see that I care. You know, it's me personally going out and knocking on doors. And then we have really good conversations. And I hear a lot about education, that we need to make sure that not only do we have a great grade school education for our students in high school, but ensuring that higher education is meeting the needs for both our students and our businesses.
And what does that mean to you? You know, higher education meeting its goals.
So a great example is here at Richland, where we're working with logistics and bringing in that program to meet the needs of the Midwest Inland Port. We need to continue to develop those relationships and look forward to what careers we are going to have in this area in the next 10 to 50 years, and prepare students for that.
All right. Now, You know, we talk about unemployment, we talk about jobs. You know, presently in the greater Decatur-Macon County area, there are over 1,000 jobs that are available right now. How do we bridge the gap between people not being able to pass a drug test, people having basic skill sets, you know, not 4 year or 8 years of higher ed, but just basic skills to be able to match some of those jobs? What do we do?
So I think that there was a great movement started with the new Illinois state standards that we are bringing in quality-based and rigorous educational standards for our schools. I think that was a great step, but we continue to test for the test. We don't bring in those soft skills as much. We don't ensure that students are graduating with skills to go into an apprenticeship or directly into jobs. I work at Lincoln College now, and we're seeing that at the college level. We've got students that they're traditionally ready to go to college, in air quotes, but they're missing some of those key skills. And we need to make sure that they're getting those at the high school level and then continuing to build those in a professional way for apprenticeship programs or in higher ed.
All right, so you work in higher ed. You have an interesting perspective on this.
I do.
And the Democratic Party, it has always been sort of the party of labor. And yet for a long time, the message in higher ed was you must go to get a four-year degree. You must go to this. You must go to that. To the great chagrin of electricians and carpenters
and plumbers,
Not everybody's track is a four-year degree or a master's degree. Some people can go through a two-year apprenticeship program, come out making $60,000 or $70,000 a year with no student debt. Yet that seemed to be sort of in education not the way to go. That seems to be turning around to me, or at least the dawning of like, okay, maybe this isn't for everyone seems to be turning around. Are you optimistic about that?
I am. We've come to the realization that there were a lot of baby boomers in those trades programs. And, you know, thankfully, they're getting ready to retire for them. Unfortunately for us, we don't have a great crop of plumbers, electricians to come up and fill those. So we're seeing a resurgence in that. And I hope that that continues.
I would just hope so in education that you say it seems to me, just generally speaking, not anyone specifically, but that we sort of look down at that, like that wasn't a noble profession. ADM has trucks sitting in bays right now that are good paying jobs. They go home at 5 o'clock and these aren't on the road jobs. They can't fill them.
No. And I think it's a real unfortunate situation for that, you know, we have so long pushed higher ed and we've not talked about it in the right way. When I was at the Education Coalition of Macon County, we did address that and we did encourage people to reach out if they're at all interested. To go and to talk to people in the labor unions and see what apprenticeship programs were out there. And there's some scholarships out there, too.
Absolutely.
If you're interested, and here's a plug for Trades and Labor, go out and talk to them. They're wonderful people, and they've got some great opportunities for high school and those recently graduated.
All right, Jen McMillan's the guest. She's running for state representative in the 101st District. Now, you're the only Democrat. There's like 100 Republicans running for this. So you have an interesting path. While they all fight it out to the primary, you're looking, obviously, to next fall.
I am.
Yeah.
And that's been our goal, is to really meet with people here and listen what is happening in the 101st and prepare for after the primary.
All right. Give me one or two of the things you hear the most when you're just talking to a complete stranger, knocking on their door for the first time. What do you hear from those folks?
You know, they are worried about the future. I hear a lot about education. I heard from a teacher yesterday that they were worried about the tax changes that they submit, I think $300 a year. That's the maximum for reimbursement on their taxes. And that was going to be, it's on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. So she was concerned about that. I've also heard a lot about
let's go back to so it would be on the chopping block if you're taking itemized deductions.
Yes.
So teachers would be taking itemized deductions?
She has given up for years, and she's concerned about that.
So she wouldn't take she would take a $300 deduction versus the general $7,000? That doesn't make any sense to me.
That is what she was concerned about.
I know, but we hear a lot about it. I don't know what the tax bill is going to look like, and I don't know whether it's going to be good or bad. I just, most people don't give enough
to charity to do the
itemized deductions, and $300 certainly wouldn't be enough.
Yep.
Do you think people just buy into this argument with the partisan stuff that it's got to be bad because it's Republicans or it's got to be bad because it's Democrats? Because I see a lot of debate and going on that really doesn't make any sense to me other than just regurgitating talking points. And I mean, a $300 deduction is, I mean, unless you're giving a whole bunch to charity, I mean, you're not taking that deduction.
Yeah. And I think that that's correct, that we hear a lot of regurgitation.
It's just got to be bad because it's this, or yep. It's got to be good because it's that. And we've I think it's to great damage to our country that we don't listen to each other anymore. We just sort of, if it's this side, it's good. If this side, it's bad. And then flip it depending on what your perspective is. And we only go to the news information that we get because it agrees with us.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a wide open, I mean, because of the technology, you have more access to information than you've ever had in your life. And yet we still, as human beings, only choose to go to what we agree with.
Yeah. And I think that that's been an eye-opening piece of this for me, is that I went to the National Democratic Training Committee for training over the summer. And it was very much, Democrats, and we had a lot of discussion, and not to bring up sore subjects, between Hillary and Bernie supporters.
Yeah.
And that type of discussion kind of opened the door a little bit for us, and it prepared us for those conversations with...
Give me some insight here. I mean, because with Donna Brazile's new book and all the insight and what the Bernie Sanders folks were telling me, you know, throughout the entire election, they felt like it was, being stolen and you know, that they felt like they didn't have a fair chance. You know, it wasn't about how many people vote for you. It was about a rigged system. I mean, you know, where is the party on that?
You know, I think that we've made a lot of headway as the Democratic Party, especially with our new leadership, Perez and Ellison. But I think it's still a sore subject. And I think that there's still some healing that needs to happen. But in the grand scheme of things, I think that whatever has happened in the Democratic Party, I don't think it changed the outcome of the election. I think that that's the wrong thing to focus on. I think that if we focus on Bernie versus Hillary, it is to the detriment of the entire country.
I think so, too. But it goes even beyond that. If you're to believe Donna Brazile, who has been, as high-end profile operative in the Democratic Party as there's been in the last 20 years, it was Joe Biden that was pushed out, too. I mean, before it was even Bernie. I mean, that it was decided every step of the way. So there's going to have to be a lot of trust, repurchased from, rank-and-file Democrats, that the establishment and the party and nationally, that they're going to listen to the people and not decide who the candidate is despite the people.
Well, and I think that it is a re-emphasis on the grassroots part of the party. I grew up, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
I grew up in a Republican household.
Okay.
But we never really did talk about politics or why we voted that way. Through the years, I've done a lot of soul searching and introspection on why I believe the things that I do. And I'm a proud Democrat now.
Where would you put yourself? Because you're getting introduced right now to a lot of people for the very first time. There are Democrats, on the East Coast and the West Coast. There's Democrats in Central Illinois. I think it's a pretty large spectrum of ideology across there. You've got folks here who are hunters and gun owners. You've got people. I mean, there's differences of opinion. I mean, one Democrat isn't the same as another Democrat. Where would you put yourself on the scale?
You know, I would say I'm solidly moderate Democrat. I am fiscally conservative, but progressive. Like I said, I was a Bernie supporter, and I do believe in moving towards a healthcare for all program. And
what does that mean exactly?
You know, I think
single payer system
may be one of those things that I'd like to talk about. But I think that just moving us towards a more equitable system, and ensuring that we bring down the cost of insurance companies.
And how do you do that, though? How does the government regulate what costs are?
Well, I think that there's,
certainly as a state representative, how do you impact what the federal government does?
You know, as a state representative, you bring in your constituents, vocalize their concerns,
right,
and bring that to the national level.
Do you think most people are happy with the Affordable Health Care Act?
That's a great question. I've heard both, pro and con. I know that there are some business owners here locally that are very unhappy with it. And looking at the situation that they're in now, it stems more from the instability of the markets than actually the Medicare for All program or the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, but isn't that one is directly related to the other? I mean,
it
the
is.
Costs are going up. Most people, I'll throw myself into here. We have now our insurance costs more. Our deductible is much higher. So us actually accessing any health insurance is less than it was 5 years ago, 8 years ago. I mean, it's because it's all out-of-pocket expense now.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there came a day, probably a year ago, when I looked at my bill for going to the doctor, and I realized, as a middle class American, and I firmly believe that we're right there and smack in the middle, I shouldn't be afraid to go to the doctor and worry about those out of pocket healthcare costs. So if we can figure out a way to improve the system and not take steps backwards, if we can bring some stability to the markets, and then if we can move forward and provide a public option, see what really shakes out and what works best, and give people an option that they can choose from.
All right, Jen, stay tight. We'll take a quick break, back with more Jen McMillan. She's running for the 101st state rep seat. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Cloudy skies gradually becoming sunny today and highs near 44 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 32. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs near 50 degrees, and Wednesday, 50% chance of showers before noon, gradually clearing up and highs near 55. Right now, it is 38 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Tired of Santa skipping your house on Christmas Eve? Low-quality imported gifts from China that are in shambles before Easter? Stockings full of coal? Or gag gift adult onesies with butt flaps from your favorite uncle? Yes, we are tired of it too. That's why we at Heinkel's have developed the Holiday Hero Sampler Pack, the first of its kind. 20 pounds of Heinkel Hickory Smoked Gourmet products for only $60. A 10-pound half bone-in Heinkel ham, 3 pounds of premium thick-cut Heinkel bacon, Kid's Choice Champion jalapeno and cheese wieners, our number one selling Polish sausage, Heinkel's Chili Con Carne, Cajun Andouille sausage, Grand Champion ring bologna, German bockwurst, and the best of show deli Braunschweiger. A great gift for employees, family members, or your garden variety carnivore. Each Holiday Hero sampler comes with bone and ham cooking instructions and recipe ideas for each item. Due to sales volume, orders must be placed before December 15th. Be a Holiday Hero and give the gift of Heinkel's. Call Heinkel's at 217-428-4401 to pre-order today. Quality since 1912.
Catch Byers & Company live from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur Wednesday, November 15th from 6 until 9 a.m. Experts from St. Mary's Hospital will join the show and we'll talk about diabetes awareness, prevention, and how it affects the community. Visit stmarysdecatur.com to check out the information on diabetes awareness. Also, check out nowdecatur.com or the free Now Decatur app to stream the broadcast and download the podcast. Byers & Company live from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital only on WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
What makes a Millikan education stand out? Performance learning. At Millikan, practice isn't enough. Performance is necessary. It involves real risk and real rewards. Millikan students break new ground every day. They run their own businesses, research breast cancer, and contribute to new musicals. It's hard work, but it's worth it. And with a 99% graduate success rate, it'll set you apart when you graduate. So what are you waiting for? Make it Millikan and apply today at millikan.edu/apply.
If long lines, no parking spaces, and sleep-deprived maniac shoppers aren't your thing,
open the door!
Check out the Steal a Christmas Deal Holiday Auction with Byers & Company. Tuesday, November 14th from 6 to 9 a.m. You'll be able to take advantage of incredible deals from local businesses. The Steal a Christmas Deal Holiday Auction with Byers & Company. Tuesday, November 14th from 6 to 9 a.m. Exclusively on News Talk 1340 WSOY.
Ho, ho, ho!
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here with Jen McMillan. She is running for state representative in the 101st, the only Democrat on the ticket. So she'll watch the other guys fight it out through the primary season and be there in the fall. It's a long haul, right? I mean, there's a lot of hours, a lot of work. You got to go out and raise money. You got to, I mean, is any of that daunting to you first time out of the gates?
I will not lie. There were a couple of days where I questioned my sanity and jumping in this.
Listen, I would question your sanity if you didn't question your sanity, as messed up as Illinois is right now.
Well, and I work full time and I've got a stepson, a 14-year-old stepson, and a 4-year-old son. And my poor husband, you know, they don't see a lot of me here lately.
All right. So what made you decide to do this? Walk me through sort of the mental process of making the decision to run.
So there's a lot of research out there on women and running for office. And in fact, there is a professor at Millikan that came and spoke, Amber Lesvardi. She came and spoke to our congregation on Sunday, just about this topic. And I was one of those typical women that I was interested in politics. My bachelor's degree is in political studies, and I've got my master's in public administration. But I always thought that I would run later in life, you know, when things slowed down and, you know, when my son Charlie was in school or later. There just came a day where I needed to do something more. And I picked up my phone and joined the Women's March. And I saw the reaction there, and it was a very supportive group. And from there, I was asked to sit in on boot camp for the National Democratic Training Committee. And those experiences made it more accessible, that this was actually something that I could do. So I was trying to figure out what to run for, that, I'd had experience here in Macon County and back home working with local politics, kind of as an outsider, not a politician, but someone doing research and organizing. So I kind of thought that I'd run for school board. That was where my interest or my passion really lies. And that seemed like a great step. But it just wasn't the right fit. So I decided that there was not a Democratic candidate that was interested in the 101st District. And this was even before Mr. Mitchell had decided not to run. I started to explore that idea. And I got a lot of support. People really were supportive of a Democratic candidate, that they were supportive of my run. And I was still on the fence. I did not want to make that jump.
I'm sure it's a tough decision. Now, do you understand why people in Macon County and the surrounding areas, why people voted for Donald Trump?
I think I do. I think that they were dissatisfied, that they wanted a change. And they were very afraid, rightly or wrongly, of Hillary Clinton.
I don't know if that may or may not be the case individually. I think there were people, and I think time has proven, and a lot of this has come out, that I don't know what kind of president she would have been or not, you know, but there was this assumption that it was just hers, and they took that and they ran with it, and the implications. How do you stack up the whole? You know, you started to mention a little earlier some of the scandals that are going on. How do you rack up her role in all of this? Because it seemed to be okay to take alleged victims and smash them under the Clinton administration, and she seemed to be okay with that. Today, you believe every woman. That's what she says, but that's not what happened when her husband was in the White House.
You know, thankfully, it is, I'm not here to relitigate.
No, I'm not asking. I'm just saying, but do you have a hard time aligning all that? I mean, it seems to be do what I say, not what I do.
Well, and I think that is the case for a lot of politicians.
I don't disagree.
Now, especially here in the state of Illinois. We've had a lot of politicians here recently with sexual harassment allegations and questionable practices at the state capitol. And I think that we need to be on the offensive. We need to both believe women when they come forward and encourage them to come forward in a timely manner.
Yeah. Now, when you say believe women, I mean, there still has to be, you know, I mean, we still live in a country of laws.
Yes.
You know, and people have said things that aren't true in life. So, I mean, it's not an easy thing to pick up. I just think there was a lot of mistrust of Hillary Clinton. And think some of that was earned?
You know, unfortunately, I think it was earned. And I think that on the flip side of that, she was probably the most qualified person that I have seen in my lifetime with the experience and the campaign.
Yeah, you chose Bernie Sanders over the most qualified person. Why?
Bernie Sanders really resonated with me with his progressive politics and his focus on grassroots organization.
All right, now how does that stack up with your claim to being a moderate?
You know, I think that there are a lot of moderate Democrats, and I think, you know, when I was back in school with my political studies degree, we used to talk about there were moderate Republicans as well. And I think that we have those classifications. They're just not used. I think that we pick topics that we become very passionate about, and then we are then siloed into you're firmly a progressive or you're firmly a conservative. And we need to get back to that middle ground so we can have a discussion.
We got to wrap it up. Jim, we appreciate you coming in. We'll talk to you again soon. Jim McMillan for State Representative. We'll take a break for the news. Back with more after this.